Saying that we care about our veterans certainly has a nice sound to it, but unless that care is backed up with actions, really has little meaning, doesn't it? More than a decade ago, when the reality about the VA was revealed by Senator John McCain, radio host Don Imus, and others, there was outrage, as you would hope, and promises of change, which we expected, and to a degree that change came about, which made the VA healthcare experience, well, let's call it, much more user-friendly for the veterans. However, over more recent years, where limits have been reinserted, doors closed, now a bill has been introduced in Congress to change that direction, make the VA healthcare system do what it was designed to do, place the veterans that they serve first. My next guest today joins us to share what the Veterans Access Act of 2025 will set out to do. He's Strategic Director with Concerned Veterans for America, John Burns. How are you today, John?
I'm great. Always good to talk to you and to talk to your audience as a, you know, a fellow New York area denizen, shall we say.
Yes. CV4A.org. Learn more about this issue and other important veteran-related issues at Concerned Veterans for America. Wants to bring to your attention and gain your support in working to make happen and, in this case, make change. So, again, it's called the Veterans Access Act of 2025. And reading, I mean, it's taking on a lot, but I think if you wanted to be concise for the sake of the listener, it's focusing on streamlining and making more accessible veterans' access to health care, whether it be within the VA or outside. And it also addresses to a great degree mental health care because, as we've seen so many reports, homelessness, PTSD are really impacting our veteran community. And this bill sounds like it's going to fill a great void, which a lot of people might even be surprised that void even existed.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I've been a soldier in the Army and a Marine in the Marine Corps. So, you know, I'm pretty kind of mentally challenged that I did two bad decisions there. So I'm going to break this down Barney style for the audience, right? Back in 2018, Congress passed, President Trump signed a bill called the Mission Act, and it expanded community care. It told the VA you have a year to publish access standards based on wait times and based on drive times, and if you can't be seen at the VA with inside X number of days for mental health, for specialty care, for primary care, or if you have to drive X number of minutes to get those cares, then you will be assigned community care. You will be able to go out and get community care where you choose to get it. It also included access standards for the best needs of the patient, right? If the patient and his physician determine that it's better for the patient to get community care, for the veteran to get community care, then it's issued community care. The community care is allowed. What's happened is the VA wrote access standards in 2019, published them on D-Day, June 6, 2019, and has ever since set about rolling them back in terms of practice, if not in terms of regulations on the books. So what this Veterans Access Act would do, it would enshrine those access standards that the VA published 6 years ago now, it would enshrine them into statutory law. So now the VA wouldn't just be ignoring its own regulations as it tried to work around them, but it would actually be outright going around Congress's statutory law, going around the express will of Congress written out in details. So the VA, you know, when you give them an inch, they'll take a mile when it comes to interpreting things in their favor.
One of the surprises that caught my attention, because you would figure in this high-tech age, although when we talk about government computers, they're still working with, you know, floppy disks for the B drive. If you're a long-time computer user, you remember what those big hulking little pieces of paper used to be like. But anyway, part of the requirements is it requires the VA to develop online portals so veterans can self-schedule appointments. You mean they haven't thought of this yet?
Well, you know, that might put somebody out of a job.
Well, so, okay, yeah. Someone answering the phone on a taxpayer's dime, I guess, yeah. That's an essential employee, I guess the VA would call that.
Yeah, and well, exactly. And, you know, you talk about websites. One of the reasons that we're pushing for this act, one of the reasons we want to hold the VA accountable, again, is when this Mission Act passed and when the VA published these access standards, you know, shortly thereafter, there was an election about a year and a half later. And a year and a half after the publication of the access standards, There was a swap at the leadership of the VA. Secretary Dennis McDonough, former secretary, became the secretary of the VA. And one of the first things they set about doing was taking down the Mission Act website at the VA, which had all of the information, right? It no longer could the veteran, talk about self scheduling, the veteran couldn't even go online anymore to the VA and see what the rules and the procedures were for getting this. It was just a complete disregard for the will of the Congress, for the what was best for the veterans, and for the architecture that the previous secretary had built to try and use this to get veterans the health care they need.
You mentioned community care. That's where the veteran can go outside the VA to get the care they need. What's that process entail, at least in the here and now? Is it a matter of, okay, it's going to be a long wait versus the care that I need right now? I can't wait for a VA exam room to open up, you know, 3 weeks from now. You know, what, and are applications or are referrals denied? And if so, what right now is a veteran facing when they are told, no, you can't have community care? And what does the Veterans Access Act, how is that addressing this issue?
Yeah, so, you know, I mentioned the access standards, and I mentioned the idea of in the best interest of the patient, right? Whether you're talking about the access standards that say, you know, a 20-day wait time or a 60-minute drive time, it's really all in the best interest of the patient, right? It's in the interest of the patient that they don't have to drive so far, wait so long, or that the care is just better outside the VA infrastructure. And community care is. It's community providers, specialty providers, primary care providers. And the way the Mission Act was meant to work was that once the VA published these access standards, once they decided on the regulations that it's a 20-day wait time for primary care, 60-minute drive time for primary care, once they decided that, the VA was supposed to just tell that veteran, you're eligible for community care. Would you like an appointment outside of the VA? And what's happened is the VA has done everything it can. It just denies. It delays. It changes the date of when the clock starts. Basically, it's supposed to be when the patient actually requests his first appointment is the wait time. They jiggle that. They'll say, oh, we got back to you with a new appointment. There's all kinds of obfuscation going on. What this would do would put the VA not just kind of on a regulatory like imbalance and saying, well, we're breaking our own rules, but it's our organization, so we can break them. They would now literally be breaking a federal statute. Any employee who didn't assign, say, a veteran who needed mental health care immediately, didn't assign him out to a community-based non-governmental health care mental health provider, would be in violation of the law when that veteran didn't get his health care because that bureaucrat was trying to force the VA mental health patient in need into the VA system, even if there was a 20 or 30 day wait when this is an individual in crisis.
For you listening, think about that. We need a law so the VA counts 20 days like a calendar counts 20 days. I mean, that alone tells you so much in just that one instance. We're talking with John Burns, Strategic Director, Concerned Veterans for America, about the Veterans Access Act of 2025, CV4A.org, the website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm certainly a proponent of telehealth. I think for a medical practitioner, it streamlines things. It someone not as seriously ill doesn't have immediate needs. It provides a convenience for older people. I mean, there are a whole host of benefits to it. Has the VA over-relied on telehealth as opposed to making greater access to community care?
Yeah, that's such a complicated issue because, frankly, I'm in favor of telehealth like you are. Concerned Veterans America firmly believes that when it's appropriate, telehealth is a great option. There are times if it's a quick diagnostic, if it's something that, you know, you would normally maybe go to urgent care because you just want to check your symptoms with a doctor to make sure it's not something serious. If it's, you know, mental health care for somebody who's just, you know, trying to figure out their way out through, a stressful day, those are great instances for telehealth. The problem is that just like the wait times and the patient identified wait times and when they desire their appointment, the VA is cooking the books with the telehealth as well. They're telling people, well, you've refused a telehealth mental health care appointment, therefore we're going to make you wait more because we've given you an inside the VA appointment. It's telehealth, but maybe, again, this is an individual who's in serious mental health crisis, and that's just not going to suffice for them. They need to really be seen and evaluated up close by a provider. And the VA is, again, using telehealth. So telehealth is a great option when it's appropriate. We've seen from FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act requests that have been done by some partner organizations, that the VA is using telehealth as a prop for their benefit, not to help veterans necessarily.
Mentioned, too, the Veterans Access Act of 2025 addresses a large part of mental health care for veterans. Is the act just reinforcing the established, or is it adding something of significance to mental health care for veterans?
Well, it reinforces provisions that are supposed to be followed by making that ability to get the community care for mental health issues red letter law, right? So again, right now it's very easy for the VA to say, well, it's our internal regulation and we had to ignore that regulation because of XYZ. And we are seeing literally the VA overruling primary care providers in their decisions, and it's bureaucrats, not other physicians, not other providers. So this law would hold the VA's feet over the fire. It would make it easier to solve this mental health crisis that we have veterans doing, because the VA would have a much harder time. Veterans would have a much higher level of recourse if they're not getting the community care that they've earned and deserved. And you mentioned CV4A.org. Folks who are interested in supporting this Veterans Access Act and ensuring that veterans have community care can go to that website and hit the Take Action button. And the ability to send a message to your congressman and your two senators was right there. All you have to do is hit Take Action.
And just to wrap up, speaking of politics, like it or not, I think every issue involving what we're talking about is going to involve politics. And veterans might be nervous right now. They might see a conspiracy online or hear a convoluted news story and think they want to get rid of the VA. I don't think all the answers lie with the VA, and personally, I don't think all the answers lie, although it's a great asset of community care. Does it have to be a really focused balance between the two for this process, this system, to work the way it should?
I think a balance is exactly what you want. There are veterans, it varies by generation. It varies by how close you are to a VA. There are veterans who love to get their care at the VA. There are veterans who love to go to the VA hospitals. There are veterans who love to go to veterans clinics, CBOC, community-based outpatient clinics. I go to one of the community-based outpatient clinics. I enjoy my primary care provider there, but it's an hour drive, and there's a former Navy physician, former VA physician who has a practice about four blocks from my home. Would I much prefer the VA to send me to her? Absolutely, absolutely. But it's a balance, and the VA healthcare system is the only VA benefit system where you're forced to go inside. If you use your educational benefits under the GI Bill, you don't have to go to the College of Veterans. If you use your home loan guarantee under the GI Bill, then you don't have to buy your mortgage from the Bank of Veterans. You can use those out in the open market. VA healthcare should work the same way. You should be able to access healthcare as a veteran either at the VA, at a clinic or a hospital, or at a community care provider if that's what works best for you.
For you listening, if you're a civilian, never had military service or experience with the VA, think of it with your health plan. Do you have an in-network only plan for your health care, or can you you only have in-network? Well, you know then how torturous that can be, and the VA is trying to put the veterans in that same situation of limitations, which nobody should have when it comes to health care and accessibility. So to learn more about the Veterans Access Act of 2025, visit the website for Concerned Veterans for America at CV4A.org. We've been talking with their strategic director, John Burns. John, thanks for the clarification, the education, and as always, thanks for being here.
And thanks for helping us spread the word. Really appreciate talking to you and to your audience.